Welcome to the Self Love Uncensored podcast. We are your hosts. I am Vanessa McWilliams.
And I'm Amanda Wozni.
And we are self-proclaimed experts in all things self-love.
Here you'll find uncensored discussions about life, living unapologetically, and becoming our best selves. Welcome to episode 21.
We're legal.
Yes. So we're grown-up podcasters today. And for 21, another first, we have our first guest today. Please welcome Sarah Yavis to the podcast.
So good. Hi. So Sarah is somebody who's super close to us. I've known Sarah myself for quite a few years now. I don't even know how many years. But Sarah is, so here's what she wrote to tell us all about her. Like, I wish I could have more time to like talk Sarah because I just love her so much. But in a nutshell, Sarah says, I've been a lover of all things self-development for many years as I strive to overcome limiting beliefs and become the version of myself I feel called to be. Several years ago, my world was rocked with Lyme disease. And while it has brought with it many challenges, it has also proven to be a pivotal aspect of my self-love and self-development journey that I've grown to become very grateful for. Which is amazing. Welcome, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited. You're our first.
I'm very excited.
So good. So like I said, we've known each other for, well, we've met through Transformation Weekend, I believe, right?
Yeah.
And I want to say like 6 years we've known each other.
I think so. Between 6 or 7, it's kind of when I first started getting involved with Achievement Club and Transformation Weekend and all that good stuff. So
that's right. And it's crazy to think back, like from like the version of who we were back then to like how much we've grown collectively to like now is so crazy. And that's what makes me so excited to have you on our podcast, because I don't even know most of your story. Because we live far apart from each other and whatnot. We usually only ever see each other a couple times a year. Yeah. And well, before COVID hit, but watching you on like your Instagram and your social media and stuff, like following along with, you're doing some modeling now. Like, it's just so cool to see how far you've come in 6 years. So tell everybody a little bit more about yourself and share as much of your story as you would like. Like,
for sure. Yeah.
You're yourself.
I think so. 6 years ago, when I first started with Achievement Club and all of that, to kind of backtrack a little bit more, I had a lot of childhood trauma. And I think probably 6-7 years ago is when I really started to recognize how much that was impeding me. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to push myself out of that. Like, I've always had big dreams. I always felt like I was capable of a lot more than what I was doing. And a quick Google search kind of led me to Erin and led me to Achievement Club. And I was like, oh my, that's me. Like, I want to achieve my goals and I don't know how. And so that's kind of how I fell into that. And really over the last 6 to 7 years has been this huge transformation of me just stepping into myself. Along with that is the self-love piece. Yeah. I also was, diagnosed with, and I have Lyme disease. And that has been its own beautiful and messy journey in and of itself. But really the last 6 to 7 years has been this journey of rediscovering myself, reconnecting with myself, and then like being my own best friend and cheerleader, essentially. And I still am like so far from where I want to be. And I know I'm still hiding in a lot of ways, but definitely over the last year and a bit, I've been comfortable enough to push myself out of my comfort zone more and more. And that's kind of where I'm at today, is still like taking those big steps and just trying to push myself and trying to get out of my comfort zone, basically. So
amazing.
Yeah. That's kind of where I've been and where I'm going and where I'm at right now.
I love it. I think that it's like, you're the perfect first guest to have on our podcast, because you are like kind of exactly where we are. Like, I think I can speak for the both of us that we've talked about this on episodes in the past, that like, we've got really big goals too, and we've got really big dreams, and we're right in the messy middle of all of it, trying to figure out exactly what we want to be when we grow up and how the hell to make that happen. You know, trying new things and failing hard at some things and, you know, doing things imperfectly. And I think you said it so beautifully, like that you're just trying to become, or that you are friends with yourself again, right? Like that, we talked about that on an episode, I don't even know what episode that was that we spoke about, like if self-love is something that feels too far out for some people, that just to start with building a relationship with yourself first, right? Like that can feel very scary if you're coming from a place of not loving yourself, or even as far as like hating who you are, to think of like self-love is just swinging the pendulum so far from one side, so far from the other, it can feel very unachievable and unattainable. But if you do start with just becoming or wanting to become friends with yourself, it definitely, that's where the most important heart work comes from, right? Like that's where true self-love grows. So I think that's amazing. I love that. I absolutely love that. You said it so beautifully.
Thank you.
So good.
Something else that's been just incredible, like knowing you guys, right? Like knowing other people that are on this journey and that are able to demonstrate what that looks like. Like I take a lot of inspiration from both of you as well. Finding your group of people, right? That get you and that understand you. And even though it has been a really long time since I've seen both of you in person, social media can be a really great tool in that aspect to be able to, I can still kind of see what you guys are up to, right? Or how you're pushing yourself. So that aspect for me, like the, you know, being a part of Achievement Club when I was and making all the connections that I did, that's been huge in me learning to accept myself as well as being around people that are also accepting of themselves.
100%. Absolutely. And I think we're going to say this a ton in this episode because we've covered a lot of the topics that are going to come up today or in tonight's recording, that like we talked about that before, that you need to find people that are on the same journey as you, right? Like Brené Brown said it in one of her, I think it was a Netflix special that she did, that the people who are in the arena that are doing the things, right? Like those are the people you have to surround yourself with. You can't be worried about opinions from people that are just standing bystanders, not doing anything, right? Like you have to find the humans who are also doing the work. And that's the most brilliant thing about Achievement Club and Transformation Weekend is now we do, even though none of us have seen each other for a year and some because of COVID, we still do have social media as that platform to be able to stay connected with each other and know that we're all still collectively doing our own work. But being able to just, like I said before, I can like pull up your Instagram or sometimes your face comes up on my feed and I'm like, oh, Sarah, like you just, you know, you don't even know I'm looking at you, but I'm like, oh my God, I'm sending you love. Like, I'm so proud of what you're doing and stuff. Right. Like it's very cool to stay connected that way via social media. So, so good. So, so good. Sorry, Amanda. We're like taking, you're just sitting there looking so beautiful.
I'm just listening.
Did you see
I don't know Sarah as well as you do. So I did have an opportunity to work with her at the last Transformation Weekend a little bit, but I mean, those weekends are so intensive into yourself that you're not as focused on building relationships per se. So
totally,
it's going to be fun for me to just kind of sit back and listen to your story and hear more about it. So,
well, and you were enjoying your creme brulee at the last Transformation Weekend. You were on day 75 of 75 hard.
Yeah, I was. I wanted to eat the whole fucking bowl of it, but I didn't. So, but that's another story for another day.
Totally. Totally. Right. Well, we had a couple of questions for you, Sarah. Yeah. We just wanted to learn a little bit more about you and a little bit more about your story. So I'm going to give it to Amanda. I'm so happy right now. My heart is so happy. I love this.
It's almost as good as being in person, right?
Oh,
like the next best thing.
Totally. Totally.
All right. I'm going to skip ahead because I feel like our question number two should be question number one. So
do it.
What event or moment in your life shaped you the most and what did you learn from it?
Yeah. So I think that my challenges with my health, that has been so pivotal these last few years. So like I mentioned, I had that childhood trauma, kind of grew up, to be honest, I knew that there was trauma. I knew that I had that. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite recognize how long I had had the trauma and the extent of the impact that it really had on me until I started to get sick with the Lyme. And the Lyme then, you know, my health had really deteriorated. I couldn't push myself like I was used to. And that pushing myself was actually stemming from a limiting belief of I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy. And so I totally had like workaholic tendencies and was kind of just like this hamster spinning on this wheel of working myself like crazy. And then with Lyme, I couldn't do that anymore. And so in so many different areas of my life, the Lyme shined this light basically on like, whoa, okay, you can't live like that anymore, but also why am I living like that? And so it was extremely challenging. I still have extremely challenging days. I'm not going to pretend that it's all puppies and rainbows. Mm-hmm. But very luckily, quite early on, I started to recognize the patterns. I've been, like I said, a lover of self-development for years before Lyme disease. So I started to recognize like, okay, why do I have this tendency? What's going on here? Why do I think this way? And so the Lyme disease was like this great, I want to call it a trigger. I don't know if that's the best word, but it was like this thing that just kind of hit me and made me look at myself and my behavior and how I was treating myself at the end of the day. And just earlier today, I wrote a little post about what I was going to talk about tonight and hadn't thought about this before, but one of the things I wrote was, you know, Lyme disease made me realize how unloving I had been to myself.
My whole life. I feel that. Oh, yeah. Let's just take a moment, let that land. Holy fuck, I feel that. Yep, keep going. Preach to the choir. Holy man.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I honestly, self-love was never a thought before.
Yeah.
I'm sure I had heard it places, and I'm sure I thought that I mm-hmm. was loving myself because things were fine. Mm-hmm. But when the Lyme diagnosis, well, to be honest, it was even a couple of years prior to the Lyme diagnosis, but I was really sick and trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And it was just, yeah, this, okay, I have to take care of myself. I can't beat myself up because I can't do what I used to do. But also I don't want to run around with my head cut off all the time. Like I don't want to work myself like crazy anymore. So it's this undoing of all these patterns and just learning, yeah, that I was not loving towards myself prior. And then what does that look like? And I think it was you, Vanessa, that had touched on this just a few minutes ago, mm-hmm. is where, like, I didn't even know where to start. To be honest, I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know what I enjoyed. And I attribute that to the trauma and just my coping mechanisms. But I remember thinking, I gotta be nicer to myself. I have to, you know, what do I enjoy? I gotta take care of myself. And I was like, I don't even know. I don't know who I am. I don't know what I like. I don't know. Like, I had no idea where to start.
Yeah.
And so that was a big journey in and of itself, was like, what do I even like? Like, how do I even love on myself? Mm-hmm. And so like, it's been so many years, but so many layers and just one thing after another of all this learning. But the Lyme disease was definitely my biggest starting point of this whole self-love journey for me. And then, sorry, what was the other question?
I'm so enamored. I'm just like, I could just stare at your face talking. Cause I'm like, I love you. I'm sending you Care Bear stares right now. A good thing Amanda's responsible for questions. So I'm like, I'd be like, I don't know. Just keep talking about whatever your pretty little face wants to talk about.
Like rambling here.
Right? No,
it's no, so you good. You pretty much covered it. It was what is the event or moment in your life that shaped you the most? And what did you learn from it? So you kind of,
Lyme
wrapped it all in.
Self-love.
Yeah.
And I think that what you said is so important, and so many people will be able to resonate too, is that quite often I feel like, especially as women too, that we worry about other people so much, mm-hmm. that our journey really does start quite often when we realize that we don't know how to love ourselves. And that's where the stem of most of our problems come from.
Yeah. Well, and we can get so lost. Like, I think all three of us sitting here have had to go through the exact same journey, or especially Amanda and I have gone through the same journey as you as well, is you have to really be mindful of, like, are you living your life? Because most of us grow up a version of who we think we need to be accepted in the world, right? And when it comes down to it, like you said, it's almost like peeling away an onion. I remember going to my first transformation weekend and leaving and thinking like, oh, I'm going to heal all this pain. And then all of a sudden it's like every year you're like, holy fuck, there's another layer. What? There's more. And then it's like, but at the same time, it's like this beautiful journey of letting go of who you think you need to be that you've been conditioned for years. Like, how many Barbie commercials did we see when we were kids of skinny Barbies with blonde hair and blue eyes and big boobs and, you know, beer girl commercials and all, it's just the diet ads. Like, we're conditioned from the day that we're born to be a certain way. Right. And then all of a sudden when you get older and you're like, who am I really? It's hard to start to like to go through all of that muck and like really figure out, am I actually this person, or where are the parts of me that are truly what I value? Like, and that's the hardest part, is starting. But even then, anybody who's listening that's thinking like, holy shit, yeah, like where do I start?
Yeah.
I always give the advice, the easiest thing to do is just go stand in front of your mirror and say something nice to yourself. That's it. You don't have to look at the mountain, right? Because I think if any of us, especially the three of us, ever walked into Transformation Weekend and knew what mountain was coming for each of us, right? Like, we would have all been like, no, who wants to go to the bar for drinks? Let's all go watch a movie instead. Like, none of us would have probably, we would have all been like, holy shit, we don't want to have to deal with all this, right? But that's the most beautiful part about it is like, as you go through your journey, you just have to start really small. And then as you go through and new things come up, you just worry and deal with that one thing, because once that is healed and that trauma is worked through, it opens up more beautiful opportunities to learn and heal. Right. So yeah, I think it's, yeah, your journey is amazing. I'll be quiet now. And we can ask more questions.
Vanessa's just fangirling in the corner.
I am. I love Sarah. I totally am. I'm so stoked.
Oh, the love is mutual.
I think your answer to the last question really leads well into the next one. So our next question for you is, what does self-love mean to you? What does it look like in your life now?
For sure. So it was interesting because as I sat with this, I was like, what does that mean to me? And the answer that I've come up with is, at its core, it's self-acceptance. Yes. Like, it's this acknowledgement of, you know, who I am, but also that openness to explore and to play and to try new things, like whatever it is that I feel drawn to. So for me, self-love takes, honestly, any shape or form, but it's really that acceptance of self in whatever way that manifests, you know, like physically, but also, you know, what is it that I'm interested in? What is it that I want to voice? Finding my voice has been another big thing, and being able to use that, I find is also self-love. Like, it's just accepting of myself in all the ways, and then exploring my interests and, you know, whatever it is that I feel drawn to.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's perfect. And that's something that we have talked about, it feels like 100,000 times on this, even though we're only 20 episodes in, but it's literally, I feel like anybody's journey, man, woman, like, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what your struggles are, you need to accept right where you're at, whatever it is in your life that you're struggling with, and then look for ways to move forward. Cause you can't put the cart before the horse. You can't start to make changes and try to make progress in your life without accepting the things that have brought you to where you are today. So I think that you put those two pieces together that well is definitely what's led you to success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And even like my desire for self-development and like bettering myself, that used to come from a place of hating myself. Yes. So it was always like, I'm not good enough. I need to be better. Versus now, it's totally from a place of loving myself. Like, I just feel drawn to do these things. So I'm going to try it and I'm going to see what it looks like, and not beating myself up if it doesn't turn out the way that I want to. But it might look similar from the outside of like, you know, still striving to do bigger things or push myself out of my comfort zone. But it comes from such a different place than what it used to.
Absolutely. I completely resonate with that 110%. I remember when I was doing transformation weekend work, for the wig business that I used to own, like it was a totally different reason why I was going to those things. Right. Like, and yeah, since I've sold the wig company and I'm doing the basic self-development work on basically myself and really healing the traumas from my childhood and stuff, it does take on a whole new meaning. And it really is, I believe, the purest form of self-love is just knowing that you're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to hit that. Like if that's something you're trying to achieve as perfection, it's a losing game every time. It's never going to happen. And you're just setting yourself up for massive failure and disappointment, which is so sad. Right. But coming from a place of just trying to be better than we were yesterday and living in a state of grace for yourself and for your journey is, I think, the greatest self-love area that you can really live in. I think it's amazing, right? We're all human. Like we have to give ourselves massive grace, right? Just continue to try and show up and give yourself a break when you need to, and high five people in the face with a chair if they don't like it, right? Like we've had some challenges. We're going to have to do an episode of like stupid shit. We're going to have to do an episode on that, I think, one day, because in the arena of self-love, there's stupid stuff that happens and it just really challenges you to stay within your values and, you know, what you truly believe and stay within yourself. Right. Cause that's another part of this that's really hard, is really trying to stay living in like the intention of how you want to show up in the world versus getting sucked into everything that's happening around us. And that's part of, I think, self-love as well, is really honoring who you truly are and how you show up in the world when, you know, you do get the opportunity to be able to get sucked into the stuff around us. And I think that that's a huge achievement too, to be able to really stand firm in your voice amongst, you know, other voices that might not like it or agree with it or whatever. I think that that's a huge, huge thing too. So I don't know if that made any sense, but whatever.
It totally did.
Welcome to our podcast where we don't know what we're going to end up saying. This is water, by the way, even though we're turned 21 today, this is only water. I promise.
Yeah. The tequila is just a code word. It's not code for what Vanessa's drinking.
No, no.
Straight up water. So Sarah, tell us what sort of challenges you faced since starting your journey. So since your discovery of Lyme disease and your health troubles, like what sort of challenges have come up and how have you conquered them?
Well, man, there's been a lot. I think I still have struggled with, well, once I kind of tackled the, you know, I can't do as much as I used to do. That was one thing. And I tackled that. And then actually it was one of the transformation weekends in Edmonton that I attended. And we had the first night and I went back to my hotel room and I was furious. Like, honestly, anger is kind of my go-to emotion when I'm frustrated. And I was so mad because I felt like it came to the point where it felt like Lyme disease was in my way. I couldn't accomplish the goals that I had because I couldn't do the things that I thought I had to do to get there. Yep. And I had a restless sleep and it was horrible. And I woke up the next morning and I can't remember how this came about, but I had this thought of, what if it's not a roadblock? Like, what if it's the gateway, right? Like, dive into it and see what I can learn, like see what's there. Yeah. That was a huge turning point for me. That was, I can't even remember how, I think that was 2.5 years ago, just over 2 years ago. And that has really a lot easier after I stopped seeing it as something that was in my way. And then I've kind of moved through that. So I think the biggest thing for me, and there's been lots of other challenges, I still have, things come up that feel like they're in my way in different aspects of the Lyme. So it's not so much the Lyme itself, but like the diet sensitivities or whatever, there's a few different areas, but really sitting with it. And like, again, bringing that self-love in and going, okay, like I can't, so another big thing for me is living in victimhood. Mm-hmm. And I got to the point at that same time where it was like, okay, I can't control the Lyme, but I control how I look at it, right? And do I want to keep living in victimhood, which is something that's been my whole life?
Yeah.
Or am I going to just find a way to look at this some other way? Like, there has to be a blessing in here. So like age old saying of life's not happening to you, it's happening for you. So I was like, okay, I'm just changing my mindset, which sounds so simple and like silly, but that was, I was ready to make that decision that morning. And that's just what I did. And honestly, I've somehow just stuck with it. Like it just, something shifted inside me that day. So it was, I still have challenges, but I try to sit with them and giving myself that grace and recognizing, okay, what is the good here? Where can I pivot here? Like sitting with it. And it's more about like tapping into it. I go a lot by like sensation and feeling. So I'll sit with it. And then I kind of like run things through my mind and feel my way through it internally. If that, I don't know if that makes sense to anyone.
Totally,
else,
but, totally makes sense. Yeah.
But that's how I do it. And that's even like with the self-love piece in general, when I was very first started and I was like, I don't even know who I am or what I like. I remember driving and I was like, well, I've always wanted to try that restaurant. So like, maybe that's where I start, is like recognizing those internal cues of, I want to do that, or I want to try that. And that's, I had to start there because I had no idea of who I was. And so I was like, okay, well, I know that I feel drawn to go to this restaurant. So maybe I'll try this type of food or whatever. And then nature kind of was a big thing that called to me. And so that's something that I really pursued. And it's like, oh, nature is so healing for me. And that's a big part of my self-care. So that's kind of how I've navigated it. And yeah, there's still struggles and challenges with the Lyme in particular. That seems to be the way a lot of the limiting beliefs manifest for me. Like it started out as this big red flag or a shining light on all these limiting beliefs. And it still is all these years later. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
So good. Well, I think you said it, like we've talked about limiting beliefs on an episode before, and like, it's so important to remember limiting beliefs never go away. No. Right. It's just recognizing that they're there and then just deciding and choosing whether we're going to sit with it or we're going to move past it. Right. It's, and Amanda and I deal with it all the time. I think we've had lots of text messages back and forth or voice messages back and forth where we're like, ah, something's happening and folk I feel like this and whatever. Right. And the other person's like, just do it. You know, like I think we all deal with that and it's normal. And that's the part of it, is just recognizing that everybody has that, right? Like, and it's just to varying degrees and it's never going to go away. It's just reminding yourself that you're still trying and showing up, even though those voices are, you know, saying those things. And yeah, I completely agree with you. And I think you highlighted something, or you said something I want to highlight, that, you know, Tony Robbins did very famously say that life is not happening to us. Life is happening for us. And that was the exact same pivotal moment that I had in my own journey with alopecia, right? Like just the last day that I wore my wig, it was actually the very first time I went to an event by myself without my wig on, was to a transformation weekend, because I had my garage door is opening live on, I don't know who's here. My dog is going to start barking. But that was my very first transformation, or one of my very first transformation weekends that I did. I went by myself without my wig on, and it was absolutely terrifying for me. All the time. I'm going to mute. You guys keep talking.
Jesus. I think that's the first time that Henry's had, it's Henry, right? I had a cameo on the podcast. That's epic. Anyway, something that I wanted to touch on, I really loved how you're like tapping into what it sounds like your intuition, right? Yeah. With like following when you just feel like something. And I think that's something that is so easy to lose touch with. Like kids have that ability, right? Like, oh, shiny thing. I'm going to go play with it. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to learn about it. And as an adult, we have so many ways to like justify, like, yeah, sure, that restaurant looks cool, but you know, like I don't really have enough money, or I'm by myself and I don't want to go sit there. Like, I love that you're honoring that connection within yourself and just letting yourself explore those things. And I feel like that is such a cool path that's going to lead you to the right moments in time for things to just line up and for you to figure your life out.
Totally. And that really has, like, that was the first time when I started to even understand what my intuition was, like really start to pay attention to it. And since then, that's just what I use to guide me. Like anytime I have to make a decision, I just like check in and go, okay, what do I feel like I have to do here?
Yeah.
And sometimes I'm like, that's so out of left field, or like, how could that ever play in? But I'm like, that's what I feel like I got to do. And I kind of don't have anything else guiding me, right? So that's what I go with.
Yeah.
And so far it totally has just unfolded really, really well. And I'm sure that there's other pieces that will come into play eventually, but man, for me, it's like, there's nothing else guiding me. Why wouldn't I listen to this voice that's clearly inside of me? Yes. Even though I don't always understand it, I'm like, it's the only thing I've got.
Well, do you feel like, feel like the physical, like the physical body struggles that you've had with Lyme disease has really maybe been like the catalyst towards you learning how to use your intuition and really connecting with your body better? Cause you have to pay attention to it when you're sick.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, aside from the physical symptoms, right? Like one of the big thing for me, like I said, is the workaholic tendencies. If I push myself too much, I really feel it. And so, yeah, right away I started to get in tune with, I'm pushing myself too much. And then the other piece was the food sensitivities. And I'm to the point now, which is really, really nice. I can just like hold the food and I can feel whether I'm like drawn to it and it's kind of like a yes, or like I can't have it or I'll react to it. And so, yeah, the Lyme disease was totally like this big thing of teaching me my intuition and teaching me to listen to my body. And that has really unfolded in like every other area of my life. For sure.
So something that would have been seen as maybe a curse has been a gift, really, when you reframe it.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is awesome that you say that, because I hadn't actually like consciously thought of that before. That aspect of one of the many gifts of Lyme disease, right? So yeah.
You've totally curated a very good mind body connection that most people, especially now, we don't have. We're so disconnected between our mind and our body with the kind of food we eat and what we consume with our eyes and our brains and everything. So the fact that it took illness for you, but to be able to use it in that way and then propel yourself forward, that's really cool.
Yeah. And like for me, I was one of those people before. I had no connection to my body. Like, and that's part of the trauma that I experienced as well, was like this dissociation from my body. But yeah, it was not only did I not know myself, but I was like not connected to myself. I just did whatever. I ate a bunch of junk food. I worked like crazy. Like, yeah, there was no connection before. So
that's cool.
It's so cool. Fascinating to, I think I'm safe now. My dog's calmed. I just texted my husband. I was like, did you open the garage door? He's like, yeah, ha ha ha, with his remote. He got a new, I'm like, don't, why? Boys, listen to when girls tell you not to do stuff. Like, no, we're recording. And I completely agree. Like I was saying before, unfortunately, some of the greatest things come from some really poopy situations, right? But like, I'm a true believer that if you reframe the way that you think about the poopy things in life, like to think of what is it trying to teach me instead of what is it doing to me? Like, I would never know the level of myself that I do now had I not lost my hair, right? Like I would not know the people that I know had I not gone through all the trauma that I did growing up as a bald kid, right? Like, and that is just the greatest gift to me. And I know, thinking back to when I was in it, it was very, very hard to be able to even think that, like, what is this gift? Like, it was no gift. Let's be real. But now it is the greatest gift that I've ever been given in my life, because, you know, through uncertainty and through trials and tribulations and stuff, I think we grow, we have the most awesome opportunity to grow compassion towards other people and ourselves. Right. And I think that once we have situations come up where we do really have to become very focused on our body, it has an opportunity to grow a level of compassion that most people either don't become aware of and don't take advantage of. Right. And that I think is like I mean, even 5 years ago, I would have never told you that alopecia was a blessing, but it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me, just strictly because it's given me the most amazing awareness of who I truly am. And even now, I think, I don't remember if we talked about it on the last episode or not, Amanda, that, you know, just recent things that have happened in my life and people that have commented on me being bald since coming out, I don't wear my hat anymore, I don't wear my wigs anymore in the last couple of months. And certain situations have happened, but they don't bother me as much anymore as they used to, because I'm showing up authentically as I am. And I'm really happy as this person because it's me. And I've made that connection toward, you know, inwards. And so the comments that people used to make don't bother me as much as they used to anymore, because I'm more firm in who I am now than I've ever been. But it takes that level of understanding, right? That when things happen to us, it's for us. And sometimes the greatest gifts are buried in there. We just have to find them, right? Yeah. And that's not to plow over trauma. And it's not to say like the shitty things have happened. Like, yes, we have to honor the shittiness that comes along with it, right? Like, I'm not pooping rainbows and unicorns all day about alopecia. I still have my days too, but I think it's really beautiful that you're able to go in and really find the, you know, because like we said, most people go about their days and their lives showing up as a person that they think they're meant to be, or that they are supposed to be accepted. Right. And they totally lose touch. So when you get the opportunity and that gift to be able to go inward and figure out who you truly are, that's the greatest gift, not only to yourself, but to everybody around you, to show that it's possible for everybody. Right.
Oh, totally.
Just being brave enough to take the chance on yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And I remember, I think it was in one of your guys' podcasts that you're kind of joked about the vaccine and you getting, what if you got your hair back, right? And you're not wanting it. And yeah, that's how I feel with the Lyme. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would love to put, you know, these symptoms and a lot of this stuff behind me. But never in a million years would I want to not go through this journey, because I love myself to a degree that I had never had that before. Yeah. And I've just learned so much about myself now that I honestly don't think that I would have had these realizations and this growth without something like this. Like,
yeah,
it's not puppies and rainbows and you totally have to sit in the shitty days. Like, I still have shitty days.
Yeah.
I don't want to say a lot, but every now and then, but it's like honoring that crap, but then making the choice to move forward. So, and one thing I wanted to say too is, I think I had heard that before, you know, look for the blessing, look for the good stuff. And I was just not ready to hear that. So I want to say that for anyone that's listening and is like, there is nothing good in this.
Yeah.
I get that, right?
Yeah.
I couldn't see it for the longest time. And for whatever reason, that night at Transformation Weekend, I had gotten to the point, and that was 5 years into having Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. Like, when I got to this point of, I'm just sick of being angry about this.
Yeah.
I'm sick of feeling like a victim. Like, everything that I had done, I had made progress in regards to my treatment, but was still struggling with the same things for all these years. And it just came to the point where I was like, I have to choose something else, or else I'm just going to be this miserable, angry person who's not growing, because I'm seeing this as being in my way and I can't control it.
Yeah.
All I can control is my mind. So let's try it.
It's so important to talk about that, because most people will get to that point. Like, most decisions and most people will only choose a new path if there's a certain level of pain, right? Like, we only ever operate out of pain or love. Those are the two. Like, we only make decisions based out of pain or love. And that's the thing, is when you get to a point in your life where something is causing you so much pain and you just can't do it anymore, it's because you're ignoring, I truly believe, and people listening could be like, screw you, Vanessa, you don't know what you're talking about, but it's okay. If you ignore the cues that your brain or the universe or whatever you want to call it has been giving you over and over and over again, you will get to a point where it's just so much more painful to think about staying stuck in the place that you are, because that's your comfort zone. And that's what you're normal. if it becomes too uncomfortable to be in that place, it's almost like you have to force yourself, like you just can't take it anymore. And you do choose a new path, right? And sometimes it does happen where you just get fucking angry. I've been there too. I think Amanda's been there too at times, right? Like, but it's you, I always try now that I know, because I've had those experiences in my life as well, where I've just gotten to the point where I'm so angry that I've let myself stay in this place for so long and that I have to do something different and I have to move on. I try and listen to those cues earlier now so that I don't get to that point where it's just so painful to stay. Mm-hmm. Right. And that I have to be forced almost to choose something different. And that's a really beautiful thing in itself too, because it means that you're trusting yourself more to listen to your cues of when you start feeling uncomfortable and when things aren't working and when you need to make a change, right? That you trust yourself enough to go in that new direction, at least try it. Cause we're huge advocates for fail fast, right? Mm-hmm. Try something new, fail fast, especially if it feels uncomfortable, because usually when it's uncomfortable, it means something. And that's the most important work to do, right? So I think that's so good to highlight the fact that you just got so, I call it tired of your own shit. Like that's what I call it anytime it's ever in my own life. Like I just got tired of my own bullshit is what it really was. And it's not to say that it wasn't worthy of my expressions. It wasn't worthy of my energy. It wasn't worthy of being mad. It was worthy of all of that. But I just got tired of my own bullshit because I couldn't do it anymore. Right. And yeah, I think it's so important to be able to say that when you get to that point in life, you do really have to consciously trust yourself, because that's a huge form of self-love right there as well. Right.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And you mentioned it as well, but the fail fast, I heard that on one of your guys' last podcasts as well. And I was like, I love that. Like just go for it, fail, carry on. Right.
Cause if you don't, you end up in I call it a rocking chair, where you just sit there and you worry about it. You start procrastinating. And then all of a sudden, you know, your limiting beliefs, the itty bitty shitty committee starts talking in the back of your mind. And you know, if you give that any chance, then you're never going to do it. Yeah. Right. Like you have to just start with something really small and do the thing. Yeah. Right. Yeah. We've talked about it even with the podcast. We're not professionals at this. Fuck. Even in this episode, my dog's barking, my husband's driving me crazy. Like, had we even thought about all the things that were potentially going to go wrong before we even recorded our first episode, we never would have done this. Right. Like just showing up imperfectly, but authentically is so much more powerful to people than showing up perfectly, because it will never fucking happen.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. So fail fast. We love failure. We eat failure for breakfast. 100%.
All right, Sarah, what piece of advice would you give someone starting their own journey?
For sure. So there's actually two things that I wanted to mention, and the first one is for anyone that's dealing with any sort of autoimmune disease, is like, give yourself so much grace, right? Because the, whatever it is that you're dealing with, especially when it's health, you gotta kind of reconcile the emotions you feel. Like you can't just sugarcoat it and jump over it. There's loss, you gotta deal with whatever it is, the pain, whatever's going on or changing in your body. So giving yourself so much grace, but then also, when you are dealing with a health crisis, whatever it is, like, we need to be our biggest allies, right? And that's where the self-love piece comes in, or came in for me anyways, was I needed to be my own best friend. Like, I needed to advocate for myself and take care of myself, because my world was kind of falling apart. Yeah. So I would say, number one is so much grace. But number two, like, love on yourself as hard as you can, because there's so much uncertainty in that experience. And I know that the experiences are very different depending on what issue or ailment you're dealing with. But you need to love on yourself. Like, that's the only thing that's going to make it tolerable. Yeah. And then the other thing, is just for everyone in general. And part of that is you know, start small. Like I said, like I had no idea where to start. And I was like, okay, well, I kind of want to go to that restaurant. Or one of the other things was rock climbing. I'd never rock climbed before. And I was like, I want to rock climb. I don't know why. And so I tried it. So I would say, like, if you're starting out and you have no idea where to start, just start small. And I know, Vanessa, you had mentioned like standing in the mirror and saying something good about yourself. Mm-hmm. I actually wasn't in a place where I could do that at the time. Like I would look at the mirror and I'd be 10 million things that are wrong with me. I couldn't see something that was good. So for me, that's where I started, was that, oh, I want to go to this restaurant and I want to rock climb. So I'm just going to let myself go rock climbing. And that's kind of where I started. But it's, you know, start as small as you can, whatever that looks like for you, because I'm sure for all of us it's different.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, and one of the things too that was really helpful with my journey when I was trying to really figure out like who I truly am and what I truly enjoy, because that's the biggest thing, is like when you're starting on a self-love journey and trying to figure out who you really are and what you do enjoy, is do a timeline of your life. Like I sat down one night and I had this really long piece of paper that I taped together, and I just started writing down memories of things I enjoyed from my earliest memories to where I am now. And it was everything from, as a kid, I liked to go horseback riding, right? As a kid, I liked to talk to my friends on the phone. As a kid, I liked to go swimming. As a kid, I started to piece together some things from that. And I figured out I love people, right? Like I love speaking. I love people. I love human connection. I love going to the movies, stuff like that. And that's a really kind of easy exercise. If somebody's thinking like, well, I still don't know where to start, do a timeline of your life and really figure out what are the things that you really enjoy doing. If you love knitting, fucking knit. Like, that's great. That's amazing. Like, who cares if social standards tell you knitting's for old people? No. Knit away, send me something, I'll wear it, right? Like, find the things that really bring you true joy and do those things. And as you start to do those things, other things will start to come from that. And then you just keep building, right? Yeah. So
that's the most beautiful thing. I've never heard of that before. And now I'm like, I want to do that.
It is. And it's such a good way to try and figure out your purpose as well. Like there's so many more ways that you can try and figure out your purpose as well. But really, like, your purpose comes down to what are the things you truly enjoy in life? Like you ask anybody who knows me as a kid, I'm a fucking talker, if y'all haven't noticed. But I love it. I love motivating people. Like that's my biggest thing. And I've always been that way. I've always been loud and obnoxious, and I shouldn't say obnoxious, rambunctious. I mean, there was a point in my life where I was very quiet and very shy, but that was also because I was in a protection mode, right? Mm-hmm. I wasn't in a place where I felt safe to be who I was. And I truly will admit right now, for the first time probably ever in my life, that I have never felt safe in my own skin to be who I truly am until about 3 months ago. It took me a very long time to feel as safe as I do in my skin right now. And that is not in a place that like, I feel safe physically. Like no one's in my life that would ever hurt me. Like we're not talking about physical assault or anything like that. I just never felt safe in my own skin to show up in the world authentically who I am until 3 months ago. And that was because I had done all the self-love work. Right. So, but that's also going back to trying to figure out, you know, starting at day one and going to the restaurant, or just standing in front of the mirror and saying, I like my eyes, you know, I'm kind. It starts with that.
Yeah. So, finding those good qualities.
Yeah. And it doesn't have to be about your physical body, right? Like you can start your self-love journey saying things, qualities that you like about yourself. Right. Yeah. I never realized I was a kind human. I was not a kind human growing up. It's one of the things I value the most now. And I never knew that until I started to do the work. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's the qualities. If you're in a place in your journey where you can't even imagine accepting your body for what it is right now, just because of social standards and, you know, the bullshit we're taught, that's okay. Go in, start with the person, because this is just a meat suit, right? start with what truly matters. So
yeah,
and start small.
Amanda, you had mentioned this in one of the last podcasts as well, is like whenever someone sends you positive feedback or something like that, that you print it off and keep it and look back to it. I love that as well, because I think that is another place that I have looked at before when I wasn't able to see my own good qualities, is like, well, what have other people said about me, mm-hmm. right? And even if I didn't believe them at the time, they did, or they saw something in me that I couldn't. And so then I was like, okay, well, maybe that is true, right? Yeah. Like maybe I am kind, maybe I am whatever it is that they said. And I love that. And I think the other thing I want to just mention quick is, I know I talked, you know, going to restaurants and going climbing and these things where you have to pay money to go and do. Mm-hmm. I want to just make this caveat, you know, having Lyme disease and I was just finishing university, I didn't have a ton of money. So I couldn't always, even though I was acknowledging I want to do all these things, I couldn't do them. So I just would, or I couldn't always do them. So I'd make a list of them. But I would still pay attention to, okay, what are the other things that I can do that don't cost me any money, or just even clothes, even like whatever it was, I would just start to pay attention to, what do I even like? What am I interested in? And I didn't always have to act on that, but it was even just keeping this tally of, okay, I like that. There's a reason. It's not, I'm not liking it for someone else. It was just for me. And as I strengthened almost that connection, that intuition, then it started to show up in other ways, like my love for nature and just being outside. Like that's, like I said, that's a big self-care piece for me, and self-loving or loving towards myself is making time for that. But there's, I at one point in time used to get hung up on like, well, I don't have money for that, or I don't have that. And it's not necessarily about that, but just acknowledging I feel drawn to all these things for whatever reason. Yeah. And that helped to start develop the picture of who I am and what do I enjoy.
Yeah, absolutely. 100% agree.
I think listening to you both talk, and you both kind of have different ways to acknowledge like the next step after that self-awareness about Sarah, for you, it was things like stopping at a restaurant or rock climbing. Vanessa, it was saying things to yourself. The commonality I see between those two things is that after that self-awareness and self-acceptance for where you are, the next thing is kind of recognizing where the boundaries are of your comfort zone for where you are and going beyond them.
Yeah. And I can say too, like the very first time I ever stood in front of a mirror and told myself something, not so much in the context of like, I'm kind, like my qualities, but more my physical body, because that has always been the thing that I've struggled with, is my physical body. I do have to say, like the very first time I stood in front of the mirror and said, you know, like I like my bald head, it took me a long time and a lot of tears for me to physically say that out loud. And I did not believe it the first time I said it, but it was so important for me to break through that belief that had been instilled in me for years and years and years. And that's the thing, is you don't, to be able to say nice things about yourself, or to be able to compliment yourself, or to be able to give yourself, you know, trust yourself and use your voice, you don't necessarily have to believe it when you start, right? It's not something, we talked about motivation in one of the episodes before, that motivation doesn't come before you do the thing. You start to do the thing and then you start getting better at it, and motivation comes because you've kept your word to yourself, right? And that's the thing, like the very first time I ever stood in front of my mirror and told my bald head that I was grateful for it, I was not fucking grateful for it. I was in a very hard place with it. I was not in a place where I am now, and I was still hiding under hats and wigs, right? But the important thing for me was that I had to acknowledge that, and I needed to start saying that, because had I not started saying it at all, I would have never said it. If I waited for the time when I was actually grateful for being bald, I would never have said it, and I probably wouldn't be where I am now. Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's the thing, is if you're thinking like, okay, I'm going to go stand in front of my mirror and you have a body that looks different, or whatever it is, whatever your biggest insecurity is, I'll use my FUPA, whatever. I had C-sections. I have a shelf. I don't care. It used to be my biggest thing. I have a mom belly. The very first time I ever told myself I was grateful for my FUPA, I was not grateful for my FUPA. like, let's be real. We've been told for years that you need to be skinny. You need to be a certain way, you know, all the things. But for me, it was like, I had to say that with a lot of tears and feeling like the biggest imposter and the biggest liar, because I had to start somewhere. Right. And the more that I started saying that and just saying, I love it, or not even, I love it, I'm grateful for it, or I like it, and, or it's okay. That's another really great place you can start, especially if you have a physical body thing that you're dealing with. It's okay to look this way, or it's okay to be this way. My body is worthy and enough exactly the way it is without changing anything. Right. Then I was able to start the gratitude process very, very slowly to get to the point where I no longer look at my belly anymore and think, oh, I need to be skinnier. I look at my belly and think, that belly worked so hard for almost a year twice to bring my two babies. They're teenagers now, so sometimes they're crotch goblins. I love them dearly, but that my belly worked, grew two humans, right? Like, that is amazing. That is amazing to me now to think about it that way. Right. And, but it took a very long time to get to that place, but you have to start somewhere, and you're going to feel like a liar, and you're going to feel like an imposter when you first start it, but just start and keep doing it. Keep doing it, because the more that you say it, the more that you override this and you start getting into this, which is where true self-love lives. This is just an asshole. We all know that, right? This is the thing that fakes you out, right? You got to get into here.
Yeah.
100%.
I like that. Right. I like the idea of just, it's okay. Right. Yeah. Or I like this, or I'm grateful for this.
Yeah.
You're coaching me as we go through this.
Love it. Anytime, my friend, anytime.
All right. Let's wrap up with one final question that I just threw in there while we were talking here. Can you share with us a goal that you're currently working towards?
Oh, okay. Very unrelated to all this work, but working to pay off my student loans. That's been a big goal the last couple of years. And I'm in the home stretch of one of them. And then I've got one more left, but getting very close to the first one, which is a huge accomplishment. So yeah, very unrelated to the self-love. Although, I was going to say, this is totally in its own very different way, a form of self-love, because it's taking care of myself and being accountable for the debt in the first place.
Yeah.
And it really is, it's been a very empowering journey, like knowing that, because I felt buried by it for so long. Like, I felt like I couldn't get out from underneath it. And now to be at the point where, like, the end is very near with this one. So then the second one seems like, oh, that's fine. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm just about done this first one. And they were both about the same amount when I started. So it is, in a roundabout way, self-love, just maybe not in the way that I normally think about self-love. Mm-hmm.
I think it's totally relevant. As soon as you started saying it, I was like, it's fucking relevant, because in those situations, every single time you decide to take every single penny that you're transferring from one account over to that debt, it's so much easier to look at the flashy things that you want to buy, or go out for dinner, or rent a movie, or, well, I shouldn't say rent it. Well, yeah, I guess we can still rent movies on TVs. I'm thinking like Blockbuster, but you know, like, you're actively choosing you every single time you take every single one of those pennies and take it from the things that you want to do, or the flashy things that look fun, and putting it onto debt that's going to free you up for the future to make it better. For sure. I 100% believe that's self-love. 100%.
Well, thank you.
So good. Yes.
I think one of the other things too, and probably why I hesitated a bit, I don't have a specific goal that I'm working towards with this other stuff, but I'm definitely, this huge focus within this last 6 months to a year is like pushing myself out of my comfort zone. So it's not with a goal in mind, other than like, I'm just trying to break free of those limiting beliefs and also the constructs of who I think I am and what I think I'm capable of.
Yeah.
So part of that is, you know, asking to do this podcast, or, you know, sending that message to you, Vanessa.
Yeah.
I want to practice using my voice, right, and sharing my story and in the variety of ways with the modeling and everything else that I've been doing lately. It's just trying to push myself out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Showing myself that it's safe and that it's okay. And that that's the only way that I'm going to get to my highest expression mm-hmm. of myself is by doing that. So
that's a total goal, my friend. That's a total goal. 100% push yourself out of your comfort zone. And by the way, if you haven't seen Sarah on Instagram and her modeling pictures, you need to go, we're going to put her handle and everything underneath. She's a fucking babe. Got to go check her out. 100%.
Thank you. I will say that has been one of the most vulnerable
right
I've done, and it's still so awkward. Like every time I post one of those pictures, I'm not like, look at me, I'm like, oh my, this scares the shit out of me.
Yes,
wearing, but like, and that's why I do it, is I'm like, I have to get comfortable with that. And also, like, I love so much with you, Vanessa, about, you know, you're just like so accepting of yourself and you're putting yourself out there, and I think that's such an incredible message. And that's kind of like, I want to accept myself in that way. And I want others to be able to accept themselves. Like when we shine, it's not just good for ourselves. It's good for everyone around us. So that's kind of just, just trying to, you know, step out there and push myself outside of my comfort zone and make it okay for other people to feel comfortable being happy or being seen or shining their own light. Cause I think what a beautiful world if we were all comfortable with ourselves and loved ourselves and we're okay to go, this is who I am, and like, amazing. Good for you.
110%. Everything she just said. 100%. Everything she just said. I would get that tattooed on my body right now if someone had a gun. Yes.
Big old paragraph.
Yes. Right down my back, right down my head. I have a lot of real estate up here. We should do something. Yes. I love it. Absolutely love it. Agree with you. And there was one, I don't remember who told me this. Somebody said this to me a really long time ago, because I was in a similar place with feeling like what I was putting on social media. And this was years ago, feeling like what I was putting on social media was, I was feeling like people were going to think like, oh, look at her, you know, like she's bragging. Right. But somebody, and I'm going to have to remember who this is. I'm going to have to figure it out. Someone had told me one time that there's always needs to be a beacon of light. And I've always, and sometimes when life gets really hard and I think to myself like, oh, I don't really want to post the picture. Like I feel braggy, and I'm not, I never post anything. Same thing on Instagram or nothing about being braggy. But anytime I do have like professional photos and stuff, I always think to myself as a lighthouse, right? Like there's people in our lives who you and all three of us have. Aaron, we'll use Aaron as a perfect example, who was someone who was a lighthouse for us at a point, right? Who stood up and said, this is who I am. You know, she's not perfect either. She has her imperfections and she fails all the time as well. But she, Sean, is that a word? She shined bright enough doing, you know, figuring out who she is and trying the things and failing fast and just living boldly. She shined enough that it shined a little bit on all of us and gave us the opportunity to say, holy crap, she's doing it. We could maybe do that, right? If it's possible for her, it's possible for us. And so anytime I ever start to get into like that self-doubt, or I'm thinking like I'm doing too much, or I'm getting too big, or what I'm doing, my goals are too lofty, anything like that, I always come back to the lighthouse. Somebody has to be out there for the people that are around them that don't believe in themselves quite yet, to be the beacon that says, yes, you can. Yes, you can. I'm here. I'm doing it. I'm here to help you. I'm here to show you the way, or, you know, help you do the thing that you want to do. And so that's so important to always remember too, is when things get really hard and scary, is that there are people watching you saying, oh my God, she's doing it, you know, and your level of confidence, even though in those moments, we might not fucking feel confident. I don't always feel confident, my friends. We still have those times, but I always remind myself that there's people watching who I'm shining my light over to show them the way, right? Yeah. Or to show them that it's possible.
Totally.
And I would hate, one of my biggest, scariest things that could ever happen in my life is to lay on my deathbed and have somebody say to me, I really wish you went bigger because I was, you know, I wanted to do more, or to let somebody down or not live to my true potential, that I think would be my greatest failure when that day comes. So we're all lighthouses for each other. Every single human that walks the face of this planet, we're all just walking each other home.
Totally.
And some of us just need to shine a little bit brighter to show others that it's possible. Right.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come from an ego place. That is very heart-centered.
Oh, for sure. And as you're talking about this, I'm thinking about you, Amanda, so obviously that one transformation weekend when you're finishing the 75 hard, that for me, like, I was so in awe of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just, I mean, the accomplishment is in and of itself massive, like such a commitment, but it's the commitment piece that I was like, whoa, like you chose yourself every single day for 75 days for those big things, like 2 45-minute workouts. To me, I was just like, how did you even do that? Right. And so for like, I just remember that whole weekend, I was just like, whoa, oh my gosh. Like it was such a powerful, I don't even know how to describe it, but just this awareness of you, like anyone, we all can commit to that. Like, it's just a matter of choice.
Yeah.
And I think I hadn't had that example before. Like I hadn't, for whatever reason, I hadn't had that light go off before until hearing your story and hearing what you had accomplished. And I was like, that's all we need to do. Right. Yeah. If you have a goal, whatever your goal is, like it just, you have to commit to it. It has to come first. And that's how you get there. I mean, depending on what the goal is, but in that instance, obviously it was every single day you have to get those things done. And yeah, just hearing your story and seeing you accomplish that was huge for me. And again, like, I think that was you shining your light, right? And I'm sure you just did it for yourself, right? I don't think that you did it for anyone else. I can't speak for you,
yeah.
But, but yeah, I was like, holy smokes, like that. I don't know. There was something very powerful about witnessing you accomplish that. So I just wanted to throw that out there. I'm sure you've heard that before, but it was huge for me.
Oh, I appreciate it. It is. I think that's like the core of our self-love journeys for everybody, is learning how to wake up day in and day out and choose yourself and make your actions in alignment with that. And to keep that integrity to do the things that you say you want to do, right? Like set goals and accomplish them. And if you wake up every day and make those choices and put yourself before anyone else, which in and of itself can be scary. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the world needs more of. People need to see that it's okay to be, I like to call it being selfish. Like selfish has such a negative connotation, and I really don't think it should. We should be selfish because you literally cannot pour from an empty bucket. So if you don't take care of yourself first, you have nothing to give to anybody else anyways.
Yeah.
So I think that was the core of it for me, was making that promise to myself and keeping that promise to myself and learning that I am a whole person and I need me before anybody else needs me.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
All right. Let's wrap up with a fun question. We got to ask one more and then we can be done, because we're over an hour already. We don't want to keep Sarah here all night. Me and Vanessa will probably still sit here and bullshit for like an hour about all the weird shit that goes on. But
let's be real. You can join us, Sarah, if you'd like to, when we get off of here.
That's right.
I don't have my light on. I just have my little like ring light, and it's getting so dark in here. I'm like, oh, sorry, guys.
Don't even worry about it.
I have my blinds closed. I don't even know what time it is. So
the sun is going down, and you can tell like I'm getting faded. You're fine. We're good. We're all good.
Yeah, all good.
Yep.
Alrighty, final question.
Okay.
Would you rather, Vanessa, do you know where this is going?
Oh, I know. Oh, I know exactly where this is going. I can't wait. Okay, go.
Would you rather fight 100 geese-sized horses or one horse-sized goose?
Like the burning question that Amanda and I have gone back and forth on for 10 episodes.
Okay. So 100 geese sized horses.
Yep.
Or one horse sized goose. Okay. To be honest, not the one horse sized goose. Like
geese, right?
Geese are vicious.
They're terrifying.
It would eat you alive.
That big. Yeah. Like horses. Yeah. No, I definitely not the one horse-sized goose. That'd be terrifying.
Right? Fucking death chicken. Could you imagine? Like, I'm scared of them when they're small. Could you imagine one of those things walking up to you? Like,
I'm probably going to butcher this, but I think there's some viral video where someone calls a goose a cobra chicken.
Yes.
Yes.
And I'm like, yeah. I'm like,
They're mean. Or
did you see that video of the lady that the goose is like attacking her, like as she's trying to get into her car? So now imagine that it was a horse sized goose doing that.
No,
mind you, if it was a horse-sized goose, it wouldn't have made it in the car with her. So maybe it would have been a good thing. I don't know.
Trample the car,
and they'd be able to fly, like, or get shit on by one as it flew over top. Oh, that'd be terrible. Supposed to be good luck when a bird shits on you, but I don't know.
It'd be like a whole car's paint job. Good lord.
Oh, I love that question, though. I was like, where is this going?
As soon as she said it, I was like, oh, she's doing it. Yes.
Yep.
Do it.
Yeah.
We debated about that for a little while on one episode. We went back and forth on it for a little bit because realistically, goose sized horses, 100 of them, you could run away or kick them or whatever.
Horses can kick hard, dude, even if they're small, though.
Little ones,
100 of them, Vanessa.
Yeah, you got it. I just have to run faster than you guys, and I'm fine. You guys can deal with them. I just have to run faster than you.
I feel like maybe you can tame the horses, though. Like, I think that's where I was coming from. Is I'm like, I mean, yes, they can kick hard, and some are like not pleasant, but like most horses are like calm and chill. So I would just hope that like maybe I wouldn't have to fight them, but like the goose for sure, like it's just vicious. It's going to be mad.
I think this is so funny. I say this with so much love. Your personality and like how I know Sarah, you are the kindest, sweetest human. So I love that you're like, they'd be my friends and I'd tame them and they'd be like my horse posse. Right. And me and Amanda are like, we'd fucking kill them. And
I'm pretty sure that was our discussion. I was like, wait a minute. Am I allowed to have guns during this expedition? Cause if so, I will take the horse sized goose and I will shoot it. And then we'll eat for like a year off of it. Cause
That is like the perfect example of who you are. You're like, they will be my friends and I will tame them and they will be mine.
I love horses.
Yes, I do too. And that's part of why I'm like, I don't know if I'd trust them. I guess, I don't know. I guess it would just depend on what kind of horses they are, but death chicken, the size of a horse. No, thanks.
No,
that's a hard pass. No.
Oh, too funny. Well, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been amazing to get to know you. And we are so grateful that you came on the show and shared a bit about your story with us. So
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yes. Thank you.
It's like an honor. I feel so blessed. So thank you very much.
I was so excited when you messaged me. I was like, yes, Sarah, you are of course going to be on 100%. I'm so happy it worked out.
Funny? I just woke up one morning and I was like, I have to message Vanessa. Like, this just feels like something I have to explore. Yeah.
So you messaged me.
Intuition.
Thank you.
You message me anytime you want. Okay, anytime. Yes. I am here 100%. Anytime.
Yeah, you guys, honestly, this is so much fun. Like, you want me back? I'll be back. I've done. Got a lot to talk about, I'm sure.
Done. We'll book you next
for
week.
Sure. we'll come up with some new questions. It won't be horse-sized geese this time. We'll hit you with something else. maybe some lake sharks in the situation.
No. Okay.
Anyways, let's wrap this up. We are so grateful for all of you listening, for leaving us reviews, tags on social media. Please be sure to hit subscribe if you want to be reminded when new episodes drop every Monday. Please leave us a review if you are able to, and you can find us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, and see all three of our beautiful faces on YouTube. And if you ever have questions or want to reach out, maybe be a guest like Sarah was tonight, you can find us at our social media handles below. We will also include Sarah so you can see her amazing modeling photos and everything else, get inspired by her like we are, or you can email us at any time at selfloveuncensored@gmail.com.
Amazing. Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you.
So good. Good night, everybody.
Bye.